Jonathan Peter and Spencer German with you guys here on Afternoon Drive. And Spencer, that's part of the problem, though, is that everyone wants to give Kevin Stefanski this pass for all these quarterbacks. And it's like, but I can say quarterbacks with an S because he's had a lot of them. He's had a lot of chances. Yeah. Like, for instance, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota got one chance with Sam Darnold, made Sam Darnold into a responsibly talented quarterback, which is, for lack of a better term, right there. Like, he's a good quarterback.
Responsibly talented. I like that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, we are not going to start using
that in, like, our pre-draft evaluations for quarterbacks now?
We're not going overboard.
Like, hey, that Drew Aller, he's gone from, you know, really reckless to responsibly talented now.
Hey, we're not going overboard. We're not going to say he's the second coming. We're not going to also then say that he's, you know, hot garbage or anything either. Yeah, like, he made him into a pretty good quarterback. And like, that's a one-of-one opportunity there for Kevin O'Connell. Congratulations. You hit. Stefanski, it's year six. Where's yours? Yeah. Okay, we got a lot of quarterbacks offered up. Where's yours?
I think there was a point in time where you could tout the first year of Baker, obviously, and say, hey, you got the best out of Baker Mayfield. But now that Baker's playing better football in Tampa Bay, I think that goes somewhat out the window. There are other, you know, there's more context to that. I think Baker obviously needed to mature, and that's been part of his journey. But I think there's definitely some truth in, as you look back at the quarterbacks, like, the best results you have are Baker that first year, and then it fell apart. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett maybe
giving
you...
And if I hear one more person say Jacoby Brissett, I'm going to lose my mind.
Giving you, like, maybe
nobody
one of his
cares.
Best years. And then Joe Flacco was a 17-year veteran coming in like, the perfect system and, like, helping you win five games to get to the playoffs. Like, those are the sample sizes. But none of those, like, inspire much confidence that he's this quarterback guru who can, like, build a guy from scratch or draft the right guy and then turn him into your franchise quarterback, because we haven't seen it yet. Which is why, like, the situation with these two quarterbacks right now, these two rookies at least, is so fascinating, because, yeah, they drafted DTR. Everyone throws that back in my face. They're like, well, they've drafted quarterbacks. Like, yeah, it was DTR. Like, we all knew what DTR was going to be. And this is the first time that they legitimately, like, their plan is, we need to find a quarterback through the draft, and we're sort of just stopgapping it to get there, and they actually have two guys that they think they can maybe turn into something, and then maybe we get another one next year that gets thrown in the mix. But this is the first time we're seeing him do this, and nobody really knows if he can actually do it.
We have no proof that he can.
Right.
The guy walks around like he's Kyle Shanahan, like he took Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl or Brock Purdy to the Super Bowl, and he hasn't done that. And I think it's incredibly fascinating. I mean, 6 years into this thing, and Warren Sharp is already like, yeah, so next year, we'll find out what he's got with the 2026 quarterback class, and that's going to be what we really judge him off of. How many years can we give you? I brought it up last week, the idea that everyone goes back to what happened in Minnesota as the crowning jewel moment for what he's been able to do. Congratulations to the Vikings fans. What has that done for us? We've had the guy as a head coach for a million years.
So I do actually think, like, Warren Sharp is right in that and this just kind of stems from my feelings on, like, you know, Jimmy Haslam at the owners' meetings back in March. He made the comment about, we got to dig ourselves out of this Deshaun thing, and this draft is really important, but the next couple drafts are important. He has basically hinted at, they're going to, like, him and it, Kevin Stefanski and Injubary.
He's done more than hint at it. He's flat out said it. I just don't buy what he's saying, because I don't trust Jimmy Haslam when it comes to that.
There's reasons not to. I get that. But because he said these things, I'm inclined to believe that, like, these two are tied to each other. Like, when one goes, the other one goes.
Okay, so you think they're Bert and Ernie?
I do think that's probably the way that it plays out. But what I do find interesting, JP, is that, like, this time last year, I think most of us would have said, yeah, you know, well, no, this time last year we were coming off the Joe Flacco 5-game run to the playoffs, and we were, like, feeling good, pretty good about things. And it was like, if Deshaun could get back to being Deshaun, maybe this can be even better. And so I think people felt really good about Kevin Stefanski. He squeezed all he could out of a team that was banged up all year and injured and had all this adversity, got him to the playoffs. And so I think last year this time we would have said, yeah, like, Kevin Stefanski, his job security is pretty solid.
Yeah, he just won his second Coach of the Year award.
But Andrew Berry, like, we have questions. And then the 3-14 season happens, and I think both were under question. But I think it was more so Andrew Berry that was like, where's the talent on this team? And how are you going to dig yourself out of the situation that you're in?
Yeah.
And so people wanted him fired. What I think is interesting is that now that Andrew Berry has survived, and he's made it through this draft, which is a very pivotal draft for him, is there a world where we get to the end of, like, this next season, and the players that Injubary drafted this year are, like, hits? Like,
yeah.
Quinshon Judkins, a star. Mason Graham is the number 5 overall pick, is showing why he's a number 5 overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Schwessinger is, like, the next JOK. And even if three guys sit, you're like, okay, yeah, you feel pretty good about this class. And then we're talking in the reverse, where it's like, now all of a sudden, Andrew Berry's maybe redeemed his reputation a little bit as a guy that can actually draft and develop talent. And it's the buck stops with Kevin Stefanski. The team only wins four games with that talent. And we're sitting here like, maybe it is time for Kevin Stefanski to go.
Well, and I think we might start to turn around too. Like, if we start thinking about Andrew Berry in a positive drafting light, maybe we turn around and say, well, wait, were all those wide receivers that he drafted in the third round, were they really that bad?
Yeah.
Or was Stefanski not good at developing them? Was Stefanski the problem in that? And I can see how the narrative could start to flip. Like, I think it's a perfect situation this upcoming season for both of them, by the way, to have a redemption of sorts. Like, I think Andrew Berry is primed, because I really liked his draft this last year. I mean, I always will. I think this one, I think it was really smart in a lot of different directions. I think he got a lot of really good players.
Yeah, Sam Monson, I talked about this on Saturday. He had, on a podcast, on his podcast he does with Steve Palazzolo, he called it underrated. Like, yeah. And I agree. I don't think people are talking enough about, like, the moves that they made and the margins, understanding they can only do so much. Yes, like, they didn't take a tackle. We know that. They didn't take a receiver. There were still things they could have done that we would have liked, but I think in the grand scheme of things, I thought he had a really good offseason in general.
Yeah, and so I like what he's done, but I think he's got a chance to obviously rewrite some of his narrative.
Yeah.
And then Stefanski, listen, you have an opportunity. We brought up Kevin O'Connell for a reason. You have an opportunity to have your Sam Darnold moment. It's Shador, it's Gabriel, it's Kenny Pickett, maybe. That could be one of the possibilities, too.
It's good. That's why I think they want Kenny Pickett.
I mean,
I think he wants to have that moment. I think he wants to show, like, look what I did with Kenny Pickett, and then that's going to be his
calling. You win across the league. If you have Kenny Pickett be a good quarterback after being an absolute nothing burger in
Pittsburgh.
But does
he have to be good and you make the playoffs, or does he have to be good and, like, win five games?
No, that's interesting. It's a good question, because, like, the Vikings, for instance, won 14 games.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was part of, like, this equation of a team that was really, really good last year.
I don't think you have to make it to the playoffs in order for it to be deemed successful, but I do think Kenny Pickett has to look like a type of quarterback that at the end of the season there are teams saying, we want to pay him $40 million a year. We want to pay him in that same framework like a Geno Smith or like a Sam Darnold got paid. I think that's got to be the conversation. You go from an absolute just forgotten soul in the NFL to then somebody that people are really, really clamoring to want and write a paycheck to. That, I think, has got to be the difference. And then he'll win this in spades. If he gets Kenny Pickett going, he is going to – Stefanski not only has this job for the next quarterback, he's got it for the next quarterback and potentially the next quarterback after the next quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
Like, he'll have a long leash if he does that, and I think he knows that. So, like, it's open avenue. Like, it's sitting there for you. Both Stefanski and Berry can end up smelling like roses after this season. Now, conversely, there's also the other side of this coin, too. And I just think when you ask the question, is there a world where Stefanski's seat is hotter than Andrew Berry's at the end of the season? If you were to ask me which is more likely, I look back at the end of this year and this draft class is awesome, or I look back after this season and Kenny Pickett is awesome, I'm going to bet on the first one. I'm going to bet on the draft class looking better than I'm going to bet on Kenny Pickett having some sort of magical revival to his career.
That's how I would feel as well. Yeah, and I think what's like for the big thing in this is, like, if the team's bad but you don't feel like Kevin's lost the locker room, that's always the big thing I go back to. I know it's very cliche, but, like,
which it's really hard to be bad and not lose the locker
room. Yeah, well, he's done it a couple times now, because, like, last year somehow he didn't lose it, and a couple years ago
he lost that locker room. Miles was publicly talking all sorts of
things. I guess that's kind of fair, to a degree.
That locker room was gone.
But if he keeps it together in another bad season, then it's like, okay, maybe he gets to stay. But if there's more of that and there's, like, you know, infighting and there's all these things that we're hearing about, like, I don't know how, even if you want to keep Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry together, I don't know how you don't move on from a coach who's lost the locker room. I agree.
216-474 to below 92. Eddie in Westlake. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, in my opinion, man, like, Stefanski's seat is hotter right now. I mean, look, I mean, I know people want to beat up Andrew Berry about his prior drafts, but Andrew, in a draft alone, I mean, his drafts haven't been, you know, I wouldn't say they're top five, but they're probably in the upper half of the league. But the reality of it is nonetheless, with his trades and all and free agency, out of the 5 years they've been here, the Browns have had, like, where people said they had a top five roster, at least two for sure, but maybe three of those 5 years. So he can't pick the players and then coach them too. So when we look at Stefanski, I think people be getting lost in the fact that he's a really good offensive coordinator, but we talking about head coach. So head coach is just gauged on wins and losses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's it, period. Now, we make a lot of excuses, but, like, you know, the one thing about Tomlin is, you know, they might not be going to the Super Bowl and all of that, but they're going to the playoffs every year with mediocre quarterback play and stuff. He's not an offensive guru. You see what I'm saying? So I need you just to produce wins. That's all I need you to do is wins, because at the end of the day, if that means getting back to what you did in those two player of the year years where we had a COVID year and everything went right, we had a top five defense that won I don't know how many different games, single players that won games, if we got to go back to that to get to where we at, then that's what we got to do. But, you know, people keep on saying, like, let's give him the keys to a quarterback and all that, but, like, you know, yeah, that's easy to do it that way, but, like, it's a lot harder when things go, when it's adversity and stuff. And I know you say, well, he won with all these other quarterbacks, but, man, we had a top five defense, man. They was lights out. That lights out, period. I mean, and they didn't show up in the playoff game, but they were lights out during the regular season. That's not going to happen all the time. So you got to figure out what your identity is. And if it's going back to running the football, you know, like we did.
I think it will. I think it's going to be running the ball, yeah, and a strong defense, Eddie.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, his seat is real high. Because if you don't have three top five rosters, they said our roster is top five. You know, everybody's going, oh, the Browns, they were glamoring about it. And even going into this season when we went 3-14, they're talking about we got a top five roster.
Mm-hmm.
So how we go from top five roster to 3-14? I don't know. I mean, you tell me. But what I'm trying to tell you is that's a reflection of the head coach. Whether we say he lost the locker room or not, you got to produce wins. So you got to figure out how.
Yeah, well, I mean, because Eddie, I can only judge him off so much, but wins has to be a key component to it, and I appreciate you as always. Like, wins has to be the metric that we use at the end of the day, and he hasn't done enough winning, didn't do it last year. And right now, Vegas tells you he's not going to do it enough this year. Chris in North Ridgeville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, Chris.
Yo, what's up, man?
Good. Hey, I just want to differentiate two things first here. Mm-hmm. The difference between Kevin Stefanski, the coach, and the CEO, because I don't know how much power he has inside that building. I don't know what the structure is. But I know when Baker was playing good that first year, we were killing it. His worst decision was when he blew his arm out, not sitting him. That set us back and put us through this whole nightmare. Then the Deshaun Watson debacle happened. His first year, doesn't play 11 games. Second year, we start to get something cooking. He gets hurt. The third year, we decide to revamp everything because God knows Deshaun can only do one thing right. Revamp everything, completely torch the offense for this guy. And then finally, we just say, what were we doing? We got greedy. That last caller talked about Pittsburgh. Oh, that they're 8-8 every year. You know why? They don't get greedy. They go, this is what we are. We're going to do with the best of what we got. We took a big bite, a big swing with Deshaun, and it bit us in the butt, the worst thing in professional sports ever. And I think Stefanski, getting back to what he does well, the plays he runs, run, play action, double tight end, your boy Shador should love that kind of stuff. So
should.
I think when you get him getting back to his roots as a coach, well, like I said, as a CEO, yeah, he's made some questionable calls, but I don't know how much power he has. But as a football coach, I was impressed with the 1 year with Baker and the 1 year where Deshaun was playing well in the front half before he got hurt. I was psyched.
And, well, and
we get that news against Baltimore. Deshaun's out. I'm like, God, can we catch a damn break around here?
Yeah, no doubt. And thank you, Chris. I appreciate you. And like that, and that's why, I mean, you mentioned some of the positives there. And there are positives to Stefanski. I don't want to make it seem like anyone's just ripping on him. But, like, this is what you do best. The quarterback side of things, like, take away all the CEO components and everything else that comes with being a head coach. Like, if this is what you're supposed to do best, well, guess what? No one thinks you're going to pull it off this year. Show us something. Like, impress us a little bit. And it's wide open for you to do just that.
We compare him to all these other coaches, Kyle Shanahan, even to some degree, probably Kevin O'Connell. Like, they're the great offensive minds right now. If those guys are doing that with the likes of, like, Brock Purdy's of the world, mm-hmm, and last year with Sam Darnold in Minnesota, then, yeah, this is your chance to do it with somebody as well. And again, maybe Flacco doesn't give you the full picture of that if he ends up starting, but I do think that's part of this. This whole conversation we're having about Stefanski being desperate to, like, find that guy that he can, like, do something with and find his own Sam Darnold is maybe one of the bigger reasons why Kenny Pickett is considered the favorite going into training camp to win the job. I think it has to be part of the equation here for sure.
What exactly is going on in Pittsburgh? We'll address that and more when we come on back. Final segment of the show, in case we missed it, next right here on The Fan.